Well, good morning. I first want to recognize my parents and my sister. If you guys could wave real quick. I just want to recognize them just because nothing means more to me than those people right there. They've been with me. They're with me through the hard times, with me through the good times, and I just appreciate them so much for being here. So my other family that's here is my football player, some of my fellow football players. If you guys would raise your hand, and the coaches, raise your hand real quick. These guys have become my family over the past 3 days. We get to like each other sometimes, get annoyed with each other, but we're a family. So I love those guys too, and I appreciate them. As I was driving to church this morning, I looked out the window, my right window, and you know when the sun rises and it's got all those cool colors that are rising. It's got the pink and the red and all these colors, and it just hit me. It's just like, man, God is so beautiful. Amen. And I see these colors, and I think every morning we wake up and we have the opportunity to say, God is good. We have every morning to wake up and see this beautiful sun and see God in everything we do. Amen? This week, this month, we're talking about the Olympics, the heart of a champion. And I'm talking about strength training. Strength training in the aspect of Olympian, they don't just show up once every 4 years and swim. Michael Phelps doesn't show up and win races. He puts in a lot of work. He puts in a lot of strength training to do this, just like every other sport out there. Football and volleyball and every sport, they put in camps and they do all this practice work just to get ready for this game day, or just to get ready for this special event. A lot of things come into play when you're going through the strength training. Now, the parallel to this is the spiritual strength training, what you're doing in your walk with Christ, and your strength training with Christ. And some of the things I'm going to talk about them today. The first one I'm going to talk about is rest. And let me tell you, rest is not being lazy. Because sometimes I get mixed up rest with lazy. When coaches go home or tell us to go back from camp and say rest, I take it to the lazy way and lay down in my bed and take a nap sometimes. But what they mean by rest is not football. It's not to be running around. It's just to keep your legs moving. But also one of the key points of rest, and one of the most important parts of rest, is eating the right food. How many times in the Olympics do you see Michael Phelps, 12,000 calorie diet? Holy smokers, you know? Michael Phelps and all these people have these strict diets because what you put in your body is what you get out. Just like in football, we're going through camp right now, and coach tells us, pop and deep fried food, it's probably not a good idea before you go out to practice. There are some foods that he tells us to eat before we go out to practice. And trust me, you know when you've ate the wrong foods. When you get out in the practice field, I knew I shouldn't have had that third cookie, man. And you know when you've ate the wrong foods. Now, the spiritual aspect of this is the Word of God. This is what feeds us in our spiritual aspect. If you turn to your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live as in our spiritual lives, we live off the Word of God. This is what keeps us going every day. This is what feeds our spiritual, our soul. This is what keeps us going every morning when we don't want to wake up and go to work, when we don't want to wake up and start practice and do the things we got to do. The Word of God is what generates our spiritual relationship with Christ. This is one of the first keys that in spiritual training and spiritual strength training. One of the second keys is correction. Part of strength training is in correction. And the football guys that are here, we know that. When we go through camp, we spend hours and hours watching film, watching our feet, seeing our footwork, seeing what block we should pick up, what block we should have picked up, what stuff we're doing wrong so we can correct it. Part of strength training is allowing yourself to be corrected. to watch a certain techniques. So in the spiritual aspect, correction in our walks with God is called repentance. And repentance means change. When you repent, you should change. There's nothing more annoying than somebody who comes up to you, or especially at practice, when somebody apologizes for doing the wrong thing, and then does it over and over again and keeps apologizing. There's nothing more annoying than that. It's like, get it right, you know? I understand you're going to mess up two or three times. And with me and God, there's sometimes I struggle with my language. And I go to God, it would be stupid for me to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for that curse word today. I'm apologetic. And then I go out and do it again and come back. And God, I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for doing that. Come back. And if I did this over repeatedly, God's going to get kind of frustrated. So repentance means to change. When you repent, are you changing? When you repent, is it hitting you in the heart? Are you saying, you know what? That hurts, you know, that hurts me, and that because it hurts God. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. Because I serve an awesome God. Amen? Psalms 51:16 through 17. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. God does not want you to go out and change, not only change the whole world to Christian, He wants you to be broken first and then do everything else. We try to do everything else and then be broken. God wants us to wake up and be broken and say, God, I can't get through this day without You in my heart. I can't get through You without getting through this day without You dwelling inside of me. David's crying out here. I don't think David said it. I don't think David, when he said this, he was like, you delight in sacrifice. I think he said, you do not delight in sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And I ask you today, do you have a broken and contrite heart every day? Saying, Father, do with what you want with me. I am messed up on the inside. I am human. Do what you want with me. I am broken. I'm sorry for my past. Because when we discover true repentance, then we discover true grace. Amen? And true grace is something worth fighting for. Amen? God is a good God. The third aspect, the third key of strength training is patience. You have to have patience in strength training. The Olympics, they don't train for a week and then head out to Beijing. Football, we don't come the week before a game and, let's do something. You know, I guess we can practice. It takes patience. It takes time in strength training. For instance, a perfect example, Mike Altman. He's a rower for the United States rowing team over in Beijing. And he's put in 17 years of waking up at 4:45 in the morning, whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, whatever the weather conditions, to go out and practice rowing. He's put his heart and soul in it, and he had to be patient. In 2004, he got the alternate position. This year, he got the big position. He's the main dog this year. I mean, he gets to compete. But he's waited patiently 17 years. You're not going to become strong in one day. Spiritually, when we look at life, when we look at patience, I'm probably the most impatient person on earth sometimes. When it comes down to where I'm going to be in a year, where I'm going to be in 2 years, I want to know now. I want to know where I'm going to be now. I want to know who I'm going to be married to. I want to know how many kids I'm going to have. I want to know what job I'm going to have. I want to know when I'm moving, when I'm not moving. But God says, Jim, have patience now. Have patience in who I am. Have patience that you don't know what I'm doing, but you do know who I am. We have to have patience in the fact that God has a plan for us. We may not know that plan, but God has a plan for us. And when we worry about it, we don't have faith. When I worry about it, He says, Jim, you're not having faith in me right now. You're not having faith that I'm going to bring you through this situation. Amen? Psalms 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently before Him. David is, he's saying here, be still. He's saying, calm down. If you have struggles in your life, calm down. Take a deep breath. You know, take a deep breath. It's okay. Things are going to work out. One of the things the coaches talk to us about, Coach Hout makes sure there's an issue to the freshman football players, is don't freak out yet. I know it's college football. You're going to, you know, you're a little bit jittery. You're nervous. But don't freak out. It's going to be okay. All right? And this is what God is saying here to us in this scripture. Be still. Be patient. Understand that God has a plan. Understand that God has a plan. And His plan's better than yours. I'm telling you that for a fact. Patience is having security in who God is, not what God is doing. God does some crazy stuff. Like, this doesn't make sense, God. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. You know? He does some crazy stuff. But we have faith and we have security in the fact that when He promises He will never leave us or forsake us, He means it. Hebrews 13:5 and Deuteronomy 31:6. He promises us that when you walk through the fires and when you walk through the troubled times, He will be with you. Our God gives us these promises because to the world, we should know where our lives are going to be going. But to God, when we don't know where our lives are going and we're still happy and joyful, that's when people are like, something's different about Him. Something's different about her. He has no care in the world and His life's a total mess. That's when God is really truly revealed through you. The fourth aspect of strength training. So we've gone through rest. We've gone through correction/repentance. We've gone through patience. Now teamwork. Teamwork is a key essential to teamworking in the body of Christ. Olympians, for instance, when he talked about Michael Phelps, he wouldn't have got 8 golds this year if it wasn't for the other guys on his relay team. I mean, Justin Lazak on that 1 4x1 just barely touched it. Man, I was going crazy in my room. Because I got to see that live, you know. You know, you just turn on the TV and you just, you know, you didn't even plan it. You just turned it on and it was there and it was, oh yeah, you know. But Justin Lazak, the teammates help Michael Phelps get those goals. How many times have you heard the Olympians say, I am so proud to represent my nation. I have this extra juice inside me to go even harder than I've ever had because I'm representing my nation. Same in the spiritual aspect. We are not representing a nation. We are representing Jesus Christ. The person that died on the cross for our sins. We are the only way that some people get to see Him. Amen? Amen. In the same aspect, the team, you know that when the Olympians are working out together, I know that when we're football and we're working out together, I'm getting up there for another gas or half gas, and I'm like, man, oh my gosh, you know. And my other teammates start getting riled up beside me, start getting jacked, and they're like, come on, dude, we can do this, you know. We got to finish strong here, stuff like that. All of a sudden, I get this juice from somewhere else. I'm just like, you're right, dude. I'm going to, oh boy, I tell you what, when I get going here, and you get me going. You know, in the same way, our spiritual brothers and sisters get us going. If you don't have spiritual brothers and sisters that are firing you up about Jesus, you need to find some new spiritual brothers and sisters. Amen? Because God, I'm telling you, when the body gets together, when a team, the best teams in the league, the best teams in our league, the best teams formulate, when they get a team that is a family and they are picking each other up, when somebody does something wrong or makes a big mistake, when the other team says, you know what, you're going to get them next time. You're going to do it fine next time. 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The body is made, so this entire body is made up of everybody. Not only people in here, but people all around the world. The church all around the world. And football, the position, we went over punt team yesterday. And you think, punt team, you know, they're out there like 3 or 4 times a game. But one of the most game-changing game-changing plays in every game. And if you don't do it right, the punter, I mean, you know, you may think, well, a punter. But he does a lot more than you think. He is a big, to catch that ball and get it off quick is key to our team having success. The weak, it says in Scripture that the weakest part is the weakest part, what you think is the most indispensable part. It's the part that you can't get rid of. We need our spiritual brothers and sisters. I can recall times this year, this summer, going through struggles and going through pain and stuff like that. And my mom and dad and sister, and Pastor John and Mike, and I have friends here and people here that I was just down in the dumps sometimes. And they called me or they talked to me and said, Jim, you have a future. You got stuff to live for. Things are going to go better. And that's what we need our spiritual brothers and sisters there for. To keep us going when it's hard to keep going. Fifth point I want to make, fifth key to strength training is remembering. Coach Hallett said last year we were going to beat Oberlin. We beat Oberlin. He said a lot of things last year that came true. Most everything. Which gives us players something to believe in. Hey, he's reliable. He said it was going to happen and it did. And that's what makes a coach reliable is when they say stuff is going to happen and it does. So we work hard in camp. We go hard in camp because I know that last year when coach said we work hard, we're going to get paid. We're going to get a reward, and it happened. And he was right. We got paid and it worked. We won four games. What you're thinking? Four games. Which that's a lot of games for us. This year we're going to win at least 8 or 9 or 10. Coaches are in the room, so I gotta, you know what I'm saying? 15. We're going to the national championship. You know what I'm saying? Amen? In 1998, my older brother, I have a sister named Kim who's here. I have a brother named Tim, and my name is Jim. Yeah, you see the connection there, right? So anyways, my brother Tim is 8 years older than me. My brother in 1998 got arrested for selling drugs. Had some jail time to do. This killed my family. Just broke us down. But what gets me through today, what gets me through the future problems, is the fact that I remember the old problems. God was with me. Amen? What gets me through the trials in the future and the trials of today is knowing that in the past, God was right there with me. What gets me through everything I'm about to experience, I remember that God was faithful in the past. Just like I remember Coach Hallett, he was faithful in his word in the past. Remember how God has been faithful in the past. Hebrews 11 is a perfect example. It talks all about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, and Isaac. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. And they put it in there to remember, hey, I'm pointing out trying to get the point across that these guys had faith and it worked. Why don't you give it a shot? You know, that's what's going on in Hebrews 11. They give all these stories of telling you, hey, have faith, it'll work, trust me. These guys did it. Noah built a huge ark for no reason, or for God, for just because he heard a voice from God, and he had faith, and a flood came. I mean, we need, you know, that's faith. I mean, if I had to build a boat, I don't know, man. You have to physically come down and tell me I have to build a boat, you know? I mean, that's faith. And the last point to strength training is the key thing that wraps up all these things. The key thing that wraps up everything. And that's passion. You gotta have passion in your relationships with Christ. You have passion, and you have, when you walk with confidence because Jesus Christ is living on the inside of you. Amen? You walk because you know that by God's grace you are saved. You walk because you know that when you have true repentance, God is giving you grace. And we wake up every morning and we have that passion. When we read, when we open the Bible and we go to Malachi, and we're like, I've never even heard of Malachi. And we're like, I'm going to have passion though. I'm going to read Malachi like with passion. And when I pray for the things I pray for every day, I'm going to pray with passion. And when I sing a worship song, I'm going to sing with passion. And when people ask, are you a Christian? I'm not going to be like, yeah. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I got Jesus on the inside of me. We're going to tell people, we need to tell people, we have the passion on us, on inside of us, and we need to let it out. We need to allow God, because I'm telling you, for instance, before every football practice, we have this thing called the enthusiasm drill. And the guys know this very well. Before we get to stretching, we get jacked up. We are slapping hands, jumping up and chesting people. Kenny's doing backflips. I thought about doing a backflip. I was like, man, that'd be embarrassing. No. Everybody's doing backflips and jumping around going crazy. Coach does this because he knows that if we practice with passion, then we will have better practices. If we go out there like, ah, man, another practice, you know, this stinks. You know, and we go through the motions, we're not going to get anything done. But when we practice with passion, when we got something itching on the inside of us, that we're just like, man, I cannot wait to get out on the field. Man, you know, we're going to... Ooh, this is going to be a good season. We have a 10 times better practice than we would if we didn't. So what am I saying? I'm not saying that we need to chest bump in church. I'm not saying that we need to slap hands in church. But we do need to have this passion inside of us for Jesus Christ, because He is worth it. He is so worth it. I don't stand up here saying that because that's what I'm supposed to say. I stand up here saying because I believe it in my heart and I've experienced it in my heart. Amen? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It does not say to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, when you feel it. It says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. We offer our whole body. We offer everything. Because when we play football, when we play sports, when we do our jobs, when we do it with passion, when we do everything with passion, people are going to start looking at us funny. But when we start to do it with passion, that's what makes us different. It's because we have something to be passionate about. Amen? David is a key example of what worship with passion is about. So, Psalm 69:3 says, I'm worn out calling for help, my throat is parched. How many times have you guys been calling out for God and your throat's been parched? I mean, I can't count too many times in my life. I mean, most of the time I'm just like, God, will you please help the situation? It didn't happen. Oh, gosh. But when we start to cry out like David, when we start to cry out like he is here, I'm worn out from crying out for help. I'm worn out from praising God. I am so tired from praising God. That's where He wants us. That's where God wants us, is to be passionate towards Him. There's not a person in here that, if you have a friend in here, or if I have a friend, if I'm with him, and I'm not passionate towards our relationship, significant others, if you're not passionate towards them, you know, if you don't add a little spice and try to go out of your way to do things for them, it's not love. There's not much love there. That's why our relationships with God, we go out of our way to do stuff for God. We have a passion towards God because passion represents love. And love represents God. Amen? Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. These guys are in jail, and they're singing praise songs. Do you not see what's going on here? This is the Bible. Sometimes you read it, and you're just like, you read it, but let that sink in. They're in prison, and people are around them, and the people around them are probably thinking, what are they doing? You know, they got to be out of their minds. But in the time when they're in prison, in the time when you're in prison in your heart, in the time when you're going through stuff in your heart, sing praises to Him with passion. Passion directly affects how you repent, how you rest, how you are with your teammates and how you remember. It is affecting if you remember with a passion, if you read the Bible with your passion, if you ask for repentance with a passion. Man, it's amazing how God answers you. I talked about Mike Altman earlier. And this rower for the United States swim team. And Mike Altman's coach said this about Mike Altman. But he had incredible passion and an incredible fight. These kids were much bigger than Mike, and he'd race them mano a mano. He would race them mano a mano. He did not fear. He had passion and fight. He did not make the Olympics this year because he went out when he felt like it. He did not make the Olympics this year because he's just naturally good. He worked his way to get to the Olympics. He worked his way with passion and fight. Passion is finding a way to love God through every day. It's hard to love God every day. We have these wristbands that say facta non verba. And every football player got one of these wristbands. And what it simply means is simply that we want to see deeds, not words. And that's my message to you today through the passion, is have deeds, not words. All right? Don't just tell God you love Him. Show Him through reading the Bible. Show Him through your prayer. Because when you have passion through prayer, when you have passion through Bible, through reading the Scriptures, it's amazing what God will do through you. All right, we're going to check this video out real quick. This video is called Amazing Awaits, and it's a cool poem with some Olympians and the results of their strength training. So check this out. Now you can look at that and, you know, maybe it's a little cheesy, you. Well, I get chills during that, man. It gives me chills because amazing does await, all right? And I love the quote at the end that says, "It awaits when we work hard enough, when we want badly enough, and when we refuse to say we've had enough." This video is talking about strength training. It's not talking about simply just the Olympics. It's talking about all the hard work that you do to get to the Olympics and all the hard work you do it or to win a gold medal or to win a medal. In our relationships with Christ, we got to work hard. I mean, our relationships with Christ aren't easy. That's why I love it, though. It's because I work hard and God will bless me. I work hard and God will be there for me. I work hard and trust me, I understand there's days where I just go through days I'm just like, man, I am just not doing it right today. Something just doesn't feel right. But we fight through those days and we find brothers and sisters through those days and we say, you know what, I need to pray right now. I need to get in contact with the one and almighty God. Because once I get in contact with Him, once He touches me, it'll change my life forever. We serve an almighty and awesome God. Altman said, "When I was training by myself, taking downtime from training with the team in Marin, I motivate myself through workouts on the rowing machine by looking at the flag." So when he's rowing, doing the rowing machine, he's looking at the United States flag to keep him motivated. What are you guys looking at today to keep you motivated in your spiritual walk? I mean, if the cross isn't something you daily look at, I mean, that's got to be a daily part of your walk. I didn't mean to keep doing this, but my arms kept moving. No, but your walk with Christ, you should look at the cross every day and be like, man, I'm going to live for Him today. Today's going to be a day for Him today. I'm going to have passion towards Him today. Amen? Altman also said this in the article I read. "I had to rely on my strength to perform well, and that has stuck with me my entire career." The strength training, everything I brought up today, the reason I brought it up is because this stuff is going to prepare you for when you have a trial down the road. You're going to be ready. You're going to be strength. You're going to be ready because when it comes to a trial, when it comes to a time where it just feels like the world is heavy on you, when it comes to a time where you just got so much hurt inside that you don't even know. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I had a hard summer. There's some hurtful things that happened to me this summer. That I relied on my strength this summer. All right. And when we begin to rely on our strength, if we haven't been working out, there ain't gonna be no strength there. You know, if we gotta if we want to rely on our spiritual strength, we got to have some spiritual strength there. Amen? All right. On these little papers, you have some action steps for this week. The first one is, what areas in your spiritual strength training do you need to work on? All right. Find, if you, out of the six things I did said today, six things I talked about today, there's something there that somebody's got to work on. I mean, I got to work on all six, let's be honest. But there's something there that you got to work on. Identify it, and work on it, man. Work on the weak part. Work on your weak part. Secondly, like Altman, looking at the flag for motivation, what are you focused on for your motivation? I asked that earlier and I asked it again. What are you looking at? Is the cross what you're looking at every day? Is that what you're looking at? Three, find an accountability partner to keep you going in your strength training with Christ. Find somebody. Mike had made a joke about this, but find a spiritual spotter. And we put on some plates and we're maxing out. There's got to be somebody behind us, because if we don't get that, it's not good news. that's going to be on it. That's heavy. We need a spiritual spotter. Yeah, we need a spiritual spotter in our spiritual walks too. Like I was talking about earlier, if you don't have a friend or you don't have people you know that are spiritually on fire for Christ, get some new friends, because you need at least one person, just that when you're having a day or when you're having, that they can recognize and be like, hey, you're saved. Jesus Christ saved you. Do you not let that comprehend? Just let that sink into your heart and just, man, that should make you jump out of your shoes. That should make you just go crazy. Lastly, you want me to finish? Okay. Lastly, sometimes he plays a song and then I do. No, I won't finish. Lastly, your faith will be tested. I mean, I'm going to stand up here and say your life's going to be easy, because there's going to be times where your faith's going to be tested. Start preparing now, doing some strength training right now. Start lifting your Bible in the mornings, doing some bench press, and then read it, what I'm saying? And start reading with passion, because it'll help. In the future, when you go through stuff, it'll help. God's got a plan for each one of you today, all right? I thank you so much. You guys were really focused today. That's sweet. You guys, I saw all eyes here, That's awesome. God bless you guys, though, and let me close in some prayer. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful group. Father, I thank you for Old Fort Church. I thank you for your blood, Jesus. I thank you for the fact that when you went to the cross, Father, you didn't die for just me, but you died for everybody, Father. And you have an individual relationship with everybody, Father. I praise you in this day, Father, because you are worthy. And I ask that you just, Father, just accept my broken heart, Father. I just pray that together as a church, in the whole world as a church, Father, that we just come broken to you, Father, humbly on our knees, saying, Father, we cannot do this life alone, Father. We want to be passionate about our relationships with you. Every morning, Father, when we wake up, because your mercies are new every morning, Father. And I just pray that this next week, Father, just may be a passionate week for you, Father. I love you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, have a good week.